This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation. SMS 0427 JOY 949, email onair at joy.org.au, or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy. I'm Shannon Power, your host on tonight's Informer.
And I'm Dean Arcuri. Later on tonight's show, we preview the man who is likely to become Ireland's first gay Prime Minister.
But first, we cross to Miami, Florida, in the United States.
We've always seen...
Imagine training hard in your favourite sport. You're saving money to travel halfway around the world so you can compete in an international competition, only to find out that when you get there, it has been cancelled.
That's what happened over the weekend when thousands of LGBTI athletes from around the world descended on Miami for the fourth World Out Games. When they got there, they were told that nearly all of the sporting events were cancelled.
The next day, the Out Games Board of Directors posted a statement to their social media. The statement said, "It is with deep regret that due to financial burdens, World Out Games must cancel opening and closing ceremonies and sports programming, with the exception of aquatics, country western dance and soccer. The Human Rights Conference and cultural programs will continue as planned. We thank everyone who has supported the effort and apologise to those who will be impacted by this difficult decision."
The Miami World Out Games Board has gone to ground. They've not replied to our multiple requests for comment. In December, Miami World Out Games CEO Ivan Cano came to Australia. He was here to encourage our athletes to get involved. Here's what he had to say.
We've always seen strong numbers coming from Australia. Besides that, we also have a great partnership and affiliation with GLISA Asia Pacific that is a part of the bigger scope of the brand. So we wanted to reach out to our neighbors and invite them personally. The one thing that I want to always make clear is that when we talk about sports, it doesn't mean that you have to be a professional athlete or an athlete that's been doing this forever. We think about it, I think about it, and I bring it to the table as an opportunity to have something positive in your life and be able to participate from a social gathering with friends. You know, and if you're able to go to the park and kick the ball with a bunch of people, that's great. If you're able to kick the ball and do it on a weekly, you know, basis and do competitions with leagues, that's awesome. Just getting out and doing something else. I mean, we have enough times being challenged with work, with career, with families, and we have enough times being challenged by being bullied in our communities from others, corporations, you know, and the current events, that it's like, you know what, you have to take a little bit of the seriousness out of your life and build some hope. The bottom line is that it's helping you as an individual become stronger, empowering yourself better, staying mentally healthy. And physically, you know, and hopefully physically too. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be a chiseled down body, etc. I mean, you know, everybody just comes in as they are. Point being, bring your best under the true spirit of sportsmanship.
A lot of Americans are like, oh, trying to get to Australia is really hard because we had Bingham Cup here 4 years ago in Sydney. It's one of those things where, you know, whether you're in Europe and America, it's a lot easier for them to go to do our games or world events there as opposed to having something, say, in Australia. But for Australians, it takes a lot for us to, or anyone in Australasia, to pack up our bags, head all the way over to a country and go for that, which is why I guess it's good that there's so much more within the space of Miami and with what the Out Games offers, to be able to have people not just go and participate in the sport, but participate in the culture and the pride that's occurring.
Well, I mean, as you're asking, I have two, three points of view to bring up on that. First and foremost, these types of events have always been selling itself as a global event. What I find challenging is that the events have ping-ponged, as I call it, from North America, United States primarily, to Europe.
Yeah.
And then goes back and forth. I've seen your wonderful country have the honor of hosting at least one of these global events, which is great, but I feel that it needs to be done more in other areas, in other locations. One of our winning arguments when we went to bid for Miami is that, first and foremost, it's never been done south of the border of the Southern Dixie Line in the United States. But more importantly, we wanted to diversify. And I have to repeat that part. It's diversify the point of, it's not just a USA event or a European event, but you have to invite other countries, other continents, like Latin America. And it's a true, well-known fact, and it's been made publicly by both entities, that we have sucked in branching out to those other continents. So, to your point of Australia, it's hard and sad to see that people continue to say that, but it's even harder and sadder that Australians haven't fought to take initiative on bringing events of world level to your region. Because, you know what, you can complain and bitch about it, but you have to step up to the plate and bring it up.
Yeah.
And challenge the bodies that and the institutes that continue to say one thing and do another.
This is the Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. Representation from Australia was reasonably strong at this year's Miami World Out Games, with close to 200 people participating. That's about 8% of all attendees. So why were aquatics, country western dance and soccer the only sports to still be in play?
Members from the Melbourne Surge water polo team have told The Informer this was because those sports were run by bodies separate to the Out Games. These sports funding was not reliant on the Miami World Out Games.
These athletes travelled from the other side of the world to compete in Miami. They weren't going to just give up and head to a local bar. Participants from the Australian volleyball teams came up with a solution. They decided to go ahead with their own tournament regardless. We spoke to president of the Melbourne Spikers, Seb Delfino, in Miami.
It's actually quite interesting. There was two different, reactions that people had. I mean, there was the initial reaction of frustration, anger and disappointment, because a lot of people actually didn't find out until they went to register and grabbed their registration packs. So a number of our team members found out because they turned up to Miami a day early and then went to go register and were actually told that volleyball, which is our sport, was no longer running. Then the blanket email then came out half a day later. So there was that frustration, confusion, disappointment. And then I guess once everyone had come to the realisation that the sport wasn't going to go ahead, there was two trains of thought. There was get angry that some of the clubs have done, some of the international clubs have done, and just want, you know, I suppose, their money back and want to protest and sue and all that sort of stuff. And then there was the approach that the Australian volleyball clubs took, which was about, you know, we're here. We love the game, we love the sport. What can we do to fix this? Or what can we do to salvage what we can? In Sydney and Melbourne, the presidents of the two clubs, so myself, Melbourne and Pete from Sydney, with the secretary of their club as well, Stuart, basically just took the bull by the horns and said, let's do it, let's make this happen. So we made some initial phone calls around venues and costs and all that sort of stuff, set up a Facebook page, got in contact with the teams that are here, so from the other countries, to see if they were still interested in playing. And we've then subsequently started the process to building the tournament basically within 24 hours.
Has it been really weird trying to do it in an entire other country?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it's been actually quite inspirational to be part of the whole process, to see the passion and the drive that both the Sydney and the Melbourne clubs have, not only for the sport, but for the community as a whole, has been quite inspirational. And what we've been able to achieve in a very short period of time basically just means that the people that have come over here to play volleyball get to do what they want to do, and that's fantastic. Since then, since the initial work that we've done, some key people in Miami have started the process to actually try and salvage other sports as well. So we've actually gotten support from local people, and we've got a couple of people here in Miami that have looked after the volleyball. They've sort of taken what we've already started and then helping us with venue organisation and contacting clubs, all that sort of stuff. which is fantastic.
Has anyone from OutGames been in contact with you guys or tried to help and support in any way?
So, look, officially, no. They've sort of laid low and they're copping a bit of a belting. And look, I have to say that we've got the Asia Pacific board members here in Miami as well, and they've been quite helpful and happy to pass on information to help us try and get this tournament up and running. I think that there's a really strong message from what's happened here, and that is it's amazing what our community can achieve when they put their heads together and drive in the same direction. And that's what I think the strongest message is out of all this.
Do you think this really brings, it's time to really look at the OutGames and the way things are being run and organised and facilitated, and that's something that really needs to be approached?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, we had the Auckland Games that were pulled, the regional ones that were pulled last year. We've now had these ones that were pulled at, you know, the 11th hour this year. To be quite honest, as the president of quite a big LGBTIQ sporting club, I just don't know if I feel comfortable supporting Word Up Games again. There are some things that come along, and that in Miami at the moment, and that have got the notification, and have been quite strong in their opinion of not taking part in the alternative event, or the event that we're looking at putting on, and which is, you know, their choice. But I just think, you know, if you've never been to an international sporting event, or LGBTI sporting event, you really miss out, and the connections and the friendships and the experiences are, they're priceless. And I think when you start, you know, you take that negative, that real negative point of view, and, you know, it really spoils it for the participants. And this is where I think the leadership in each of those clubs really needs to stand up and say, we get it, it didn't work out. We'll request our money back and we'll voice our opinion and all that sort of stuff. But we're here. We're here, and there's you know, 25 other volleyball teams here as well. How about we sit together and enjoy each other's company? And I think that, you know, the ones that haven't done it have really set themselves aside, and the ones that are really keen are really keen to meet each other now, you know. We've got teams from Canada and Guam and from here in Miami as well and Mexico that are really looking forward to meeting the Australians. And that's, you know, because of what we've done and the support that we've got from not only those clubs, but even from our own members. The Sydney Free Zone members and the Melbourne Spikers members are absolutely a cut above the rest. Like, every single person that's over here from those two clubs has openly said, if you want anything, if you want us to do anything to make this happen, you let us know, we're happy to help. And I think that's, again, another testament to the club and to us as a people.
Do you think it's time to revisit the One Games policy that Team Melbourne put forward?
Yeah, look, that's a really interesting question. I don't think there's going to be a need to revisit it, because I think a lot of our games have really just shot themselves in the foot here. I think they completely destroyed themselves. That's what they've done. So I actually think that if the World Art Games put on another event in the future, I, as the president of the club, wouldn't support it. I, as a Team Melbourne committee member, my vote would be not to support it. And I can say that we're not the only one. And when you've got that starting already, I can only imagine that the games wouldn't even make it to a website, let alone the point where that they've destroyed up that this time around.
That was Seb Delfino, president of the Melbourne Spikers in Miami. This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. In 2006, a rumoured incident caused the Gay Games and the World Out Games to split into separate events. Team Melbourne have said they won't support further bids for separate events.
But they will support people who wish to go and participate. Sports groups are now asking if it's time to return to the days of one international LGBTI sporting competition. Here's what Australasian representative of the Gay and Lesbian Sports Association, Gregory Phillips, had to say before he left for Miami.
These conversations are happening in many places about what is the way forward. Gay Games, the Federation of Gay Games model, is well established, and they don't seem to be changing much from year to year, and that's probably a good thing. Their bid process is well established. They have multiple bids each time. The bids seem to be of high quality. But I think, irrespective of whether it's an Out Games or Gay Games, there seems to be a trend of less participants compared to what has happened in the past.
I mean, it's harder as well when you look at it from an Australian perspective. perspective because we're all the way over here. So even getting there is hard, is expensive and costly. It takes a lot of work for any of us to go anywhere that's not within Australia.
And certainly from a Gleeson Asia Pacific point of view, we keep on putting that point to say every event is a long way for us. And certainly we were very supportive of Team Melbourne's push to get the One World event together. And that was before I was involved. But still Gleeson Asia Pacific was involved in that and saying this is what our members want.
That was the Australasian representative of the Gay and Lesbian Sports Association, Gregory Phillips. This is the Informer, Joy's Nightly News and Current Affairs program. Miami Beach Police and state authorities have opened a fraud investigation into this year's World Out Games, according to the Miami Herald.
We can confirm players from volleyball, tennis and social running have ended up organising their own tournaments in Miami.
For those who missed out entirely, Miami's LGBTI community are playing host and showing them the sights so they can make the most of their time in the Floridian capital.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9 with Dean Arcuri and Shannon Power, a show bringing you the day's news from an LGBTI perspective. It's 13 minutes to 7. Now we head to Ireland, who might be on the cusp of having its first openly gay leader. Leo Varadkar is the frontrunner to take over the leadership of the ruling centre-right party, Fine Gael. After 6 years in the top job, Enda Kenny is stepping down as Ireland's Taoiseach, the Gaelic word for Prime Minister. Varadkar is the country's current social welfare minister, whose only competitor for the prime ministership is Simon Coveney. An electoral college made up of fellow MPs, local councillors and the 21,000 Fine Gael members will vote on June 2 to decide their new leader.
But only 4 days ahead of the vote, Varadkar has surged ahead as favourite. The 38-year-old, who's been described as an Irish Emmanuel Macron, came out as gay during Ireland's marriage equality referendum in 2015. He's the first gay minister in Ireland's history. If successful on the 2nd of June, he'll become the fourth gay head of state in the world and will join Luxembourg's Xavier Bettel as the only sitting gay head of state.
Tiernan Brady spearheaded Ireland's Yes campaign during the marriage equality referendum. Brady is now living down under to help make the issue a reality here in Australia. He's a leader at the Quality campaign and joins us on the line. Tiernan, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
Anytime, Shannon. How are you?
I'm very well. We've got Dean Arcuri on the line with us, on air with us as well. So,
thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.